Welcome to Real Talk Love Therapy. I'm Eli.
I'm Daisha.
Where we cut the bullshit, challenge stereotypes of what love looks like for the millennial age. This week's episode, what are the right and wrong reasons of getting in a relationship? Before we get into this episode of Real Talk Love Therapy, we just have to give a shout out to some very, very special Patreon supporters.
Yes, yes, y'all. So we are going to show love to Patrick McMurray, to Rosario Solano, to Max Iglesias,
and Katie LeBlanc. Boom, boom. Thank you so much for supporting us. And if y'all want to get a shout out, check out patreon.com/
Real Talk Love Therapy.
There you go. Yay. All right, this week's episode. That's fun. So this was the first episode we did that we gave it to the Patreon supporters. We gave them three different options as far as the voting process goes, and the most popular vote was what are the right and wrong reasons of being in a relationship. So this is something we're going to be going forward with, is just to be more interactive with the audience, and I think it's just a really cool way to have them be a part of the conversation based off what they're interested in.
Listen to our Real Talk Love Therapy blog, then you know that we are now moving to posting twice a month, so it'll be every other week, second and fourth Thursday. One week we'll have a guest, and then another week, if you are interested, our Patreon subscribers will get the option to do a listener's choice vote, and so the Patreon subscribers will get to decide what episode or what the topic is of our episode when it's just me and Eli.
This example of moving forward is just, there is going to be so much more fun things, more goodies now than there ever was before.
So they voted on us doing what are the right and wrong ways to get into a relationship. And from what I remember, I feel like this was something that you were excited to talk about. So
yeah, yeah. Well, we were thinking about like, okay, what are the three topics that we can use? And I'm like, I want one that we just talk about like, just self-love, like, and we're trying to figure out, okay, how do we bring that into kind of the relationship spectrum? And I just know that I never felt this confident, and I never felt this ready to be in a relationship. And I realized I feel this way because I made the long investment in personal investment in myself. So I realized that, and I realized how important it is. And it's the whole case of you have to love yourself, before, you can love, let anyone love you. And I think that's true because, you know, I went through the long kind of just batch of it. Like I would date a bunch of people. I would go on the Tinder. I would do all that. But it just, I wouldn't connect with anyone, or I wasn't good at relationships. And after some failed relationships, I kind of realized, okay, what's up with me? Like, I know what they did
wrong. What do you think it took you to see you? Because when we were married, you was not ready to think about what was going on with you.
Well, I wasn't getting any ass, so that was one thing. One major motivational factor that was like, why would I deal with all her shit? What are the perks?
So you're saying getting all that ass masked your ability to figure out that you needed to love yourself first.
Maybe.
See, I could have brought out the good in you.
Please. I just know. It's like, I remember, like, I just stopped dating. Like, I realized, like, in my life that I always was, like, either talking to someone or in a relationship or dating someone in some capacity since, like, college. And I was like, man, I never really was alone. And I think as a man, it's almost like, you don't have conversations with your boys about like, yeah, bro, I'm so alone right now. That's cool. No, it's like what's cool is that you are hollering at ladies. Like that's what is your value when it comes to other men versus what's your personal development, how you're working on yourself. And maybe you should take a step back from dating. That's never a part of the conversation. So it took me a really long time to realize that. And it wasn't until like, you know, taking a step back where I feel really comfortable with myself and I feel really confident more than I've ever been. And I know my worth.
Well, what made you, like, what encouraged you to take that step back? Or I should say, what inspired you to take that step back?
What inspired me to take that step? I think it was after one very intense relationship. It was probably the most intense as far as just, like, the fighting and the fallout and everything else. And I think I made the decision to, and then I looked back about like, okay, it's been months and I'm still miserable and sad. after this breakup. And I'm like, okay, why am I still miserable and sad? Oh, it's because I went straight on Tinder after we broke up. Like, I took no breaks. I masked my feelings and how I was dealing with my issues through other people. And that was a big realization, because I was just like very just like down and out, like, and multiple different aspects of my life as well, which is why I made the decision of just like, okay, I'm not growing. And I always pride myself on being someone that grew. And I think I reached a point where, oh, I'm in adulthood now. And this is a piece of that growth. And yeah, I think just the kind of anxiety of it all, of not progressing. Jesus. What is going
on? I'm over sorry. Here
opening up.
No,
I'm on an
sorry.
Oprah episode and you're over here with your phone blowing up, you know. Letting my heart wide open. You see,
I am
this
not
is why I couldn't
all.
Connect with people for
no,
so long.
Because the amount of time
of
you got fucking Noodle World Junior in the middle of my sermons.
It was
okay?
I was nourishing my soul.
Oh,
okay?
Whatever.
Jesus. That's pretty much where it all kind of stemmed from with this subject. So that's why I kind of turned into what are the right and wrong reasons, which I think a lot of people could be in bad spaces or want to be with someone to mask feelings or mask their emotions or because they're lonely or because they're feeling pressured. So there's a lot of right and wrong reasons as far as that goes. So.
Yeah, I'm trying to, there was something you said that really resonated with me and I'm trying to remember what it was.
Amazing things that I said.
Oh my God.
It resonated, so I really want to figure out which part it was.
I know, because it's a very rare occurrence.
Rare occurrence, I say. I seen you. You reacted when, I don't know, when I think you said as far as like growing goes or something. Or
oh, it was the always liking someone. So yeah. So again, like I don't have like a very long dating history, but I have a long crush history, and so I remember when I was in college. I can't remember. It was after like I got into, so I was someone that always got into almost relationships where like I would be friends with people who like for some reason like never thought that I'd be interested in them. And so they never said anything to me. And then organically I would be like, oh, I think I actually kind of like them. And then I would say something and then these motherfuckers would be like, oh, you know, I thought that you'd never like me. So I'm not. I didn't. I wiped away those feelings. And I'm like,
what?
Bitch!
Like, why does anyone make a move? Like, what's with this weird back and forth?
And that's what makes me so mad, because this is why you need to shoot your shot, because you never know. And like, I would always get mad because I was like, well, when I felt it, I did something. So the fact that you felt it before and didn't do nothing is beyond me. But anyway, so that was kind of my life, which it was a lot of like almost relationships, but then people were like, well, I've kind of like, I've put you in the friend zone in my head now. So I'm like, I don't want to take you out of that. They're like, I honestly think it's because I'm such a good faux therapist that they're just like, you give really good therapy, so I don't want to fuck that up.
That's funny. Isn't that why you made the video that the first video we were in on BuzzFeed? It was like,
which one? Oh, yeah, the one that was Let It Out. Yeah, because it was just like, that was literally my life. It was like either I would ask and they'd say no, or I'd ask and they'd be like, oh, well, I did like you, but now I don't. And I'm like, great.
Sick.
But yeah, so I remember just kind of like, so it was after one of those almost relationship situations and in my head, I was like, all right, well, who's next? And I remember feeling uncomfortable about the fact that like, I was like, because I think I was a junior in college at that point, and I just wasn't attracted to anyone younger than me. There wasn't really anyone older than me around to kind of think about. So I was just kind of like, oh, there's no one. What do I do? And I was like, ew, like, I can't believe that I've never gone, like, since childhood, gone, like, a time, like, I feel like I've always mentally in my head had someone that I was trying to pursue, or someone that I had a crush on, or someone that I was in an almost relationship with. Like, there's always some sort of, like, sexual tension relationship I have with somebody. And so, like, it was end of junior year going into senior year. I remember that summer just kind of being like, shit, like, I don't have any like romantic interest in anyone, like, and I was just like, but it was such a profound feeling, because it was just like, I was like so bored, but at the same time I was just like, why does my life always revolve around having a crush on somebody? Like, yeah. Why don't I know how to function without having to pursue someone? And it was just so like this is nuts. And so what's crazy about that year, though, and I think maybe that's also why I've gotten into very much of a, like, I think it's so important for me to just focus on me, is that, like, so that year, my senior year, I was just like, I want to make the bomb, most bomb thesis video that I could ever make, because, like, it was a requirement for me to do a thesis. And because I was in media studies, I was like, I want this to be something that I can submit to festivals. Like, I was like, I'm going all out. So, like, that whole summer, like, even though I didn't, you know, I was like, this sucks. I don't have anyone I'm romantically interested in. I was like, you know what? Like, I'm going to, like, buckle down. I'm going to focus on making this thesis video the best that I can. And then, you know, we'll just kind of see where life goes. And, like, you know, I believe it was my thesis video that got me into BuzzFeed. And then I also ended up submitting it to some stuff. And, like, winning some stuff. So it's just like, and I also wrote a play that year. Yeah. And that also won a few festivals. So it's just kind of like, that's why I think at the end of the day, like, it was a weird thing to be in that I felt like I needed to have someone. But then I think that was when I started taking my skills more seriously, and that it's like, oh, if you really apply yourself, like, you get shit. So it's just like, you know, and I think that that's where I was starting to think about, well, what do I value more right now? Like, do I like winning shit or getting shit, or, you know, do I want a relationship? And so, you know, and I still struggled for a little bit after that. But now I feel like I'm in a much more committed place to, like, you know, there's only so much time in the world. Like, I just think for me, like, I would die so unhappy if I knew that I didn't go after something that I wanted.
Yeah. And that's the thing, I think. As far as, like, because we talked a little bit about this, as far as, like, love, relationships, and career, and everything like that, and we're pretty similar in that regards. But I think even for the people that say that relationships a little more on the priority list, which I think that's totally fine. Like, whoever's listening to this, be like, well, I love relationships, I want a relationship. That's fantastic.
Yeah, that's dope.
But you should still apply the same rules and principles, and not just jump into something. I know so many people that just jump in relationships just to be in one, and they're not the right person. These people suck. Like, you meet them, like, oh, this is my boyfriend, Chad. I'm like, hey, what's up, bro? I'm like, oh, God, really? Like, okay, maybe the sex is good. But other than that, you know damn well you don't want to be with this guy. And it's always terrible when I see those, like, narratives, because I feel like because that is a little more higher on the scale there, you still got to pump the brakes and know, is this person for me or not?
Yeah. And I would say, I mean, like I said, like, I had that moment only because, like, literally there was no one else there. And it made me realize how uncomfortable I was with the idea of not having romance in my life. Because when you look at TV, and I'm starting to notice this a lot more, like, women in TV shows always have some sort of romantic aspect or element about their storyline. They always have to be pursuing someone. There always has to be some sort of love interest there. And I think that that was the same kind of effect that I was seeing in my life, where it was just kind of like, wait, I can exist and not be pursuing someone, like, and not have that romantic storyline to my life. And I think that that's where, and it's so interesting how psychologists will go back and forth about whether or not media has an impact on people's behavior, because I totally think it does. In that, like, I mean, I saw it in myself. Like, it was just like, oh, like, I have a storyline outside of my romantic relationship. So I would say, especially if you're someone that's a serial dater, I would take some time to, like, if you just get out of something, like, as uncomfortable as it will feel, it was hella uncomfortable. Definitely, like, take some time for yourself and, like, and think about, like, why does it make you so uncomfortable to not have that romantic storyline in your life? And if anything, Shonda Rhimes, sister, auntie, queen Shonda. So I'm obsessed with, because she, like, she's someone who I feel like is really challenging women with her media to really think about, like, why do you need that romantic storyline? Like, why is that your happily ever after? And it's not to say that you can't have it, but, like, we are so conditioned by the things that we watch and the media that we consume to feel like that is so necessary, that, like, when you are shown an alternative, and it's a very viable alternative, we'll often say, like, no, that can't be. Why would she let her go off and live life without a man, like, or a partner? Like, I can't buy that. Or, like, it's just seen as, like, such a negative thing. And, like, I don't, It's one of those things where I'm like, of course companionship is nice, but I think for me at the end of the day, the companionship has value when you're with someone that you actually care about and not just with someone.
Yeah, yeah. It's the same thing too, which is similar, is that like, I think I buried the hatchet from that relationship where we had a terrible fallout, and we became friends, and it was really weird, and then like, it was so strange that I took a whole year just like taking off the dating game. Of course, like, you know, things happen, but it's almost like this whole timeline of my life came crashing in during this time. Like, it was almost fate of these people I haven't talked to in years that I've dated, and they just come back into my life. And it was almost like these chapters that I had to finish, like I had to close out on these chapters of my life. And it took that tour to finally finish everything. Cause I always had like a coulda, woulda, shoulda. I always thought about like an ex, or I thought about someone I used to date, or I thought about like that white buffalo, the one that got away, or like some.
Is that what you call it, a white buffalo?
Yeah, the white buffalo. You ever heard of the white buffalo?
No.
Yeah, the white buffalo, the one that got away, kind of like the rare bird that, you know, that that never happened. But I always had that.
Why she gotta be white? No, I'm just kidding.
White, okay. Next episode. Multicultural bird. But it was the case where I realized that, oh wow, I am longing for no one. I've buried every hatchet there is to bury, and there is no one left. It's just me now. It's just this wide open plane of a future to whoever else like falls in line in that space.
I don't know. You out here talking about getting in Ocasio's DM, so
yeah,
I don't
that's
think
the
it's
future.
That
that's a very beautiful, bright future. Like, but that's what I'm saying, is that like I've always held something back. There's always had to be some sort of lover, or in some capacity, or what could have, or like an ex that I have issues, or some sort of relationship, anything in the sphere, which like. Yeah, I realized that I had a clean slate. It was the first time in my life where, since like seventh grade with my first ex that broke my heart via Xanga, that I had a clean and open slate. And it was really interesting. And I think, it hits on exactly what you were saying of like, okay, like, because my thing now is like, oh, I have opportunities. Things are going great. I'm busting my ass, but it's fucking lonely. But it's the case where I don't want to jump into something just because I'm lonely. I really need to check my emotions and how I'm feeling, and know that I want to be with this person, or I want to date this person, because it's like my time's precious now. So it's because it's the give and take. It's like I want to work and I want to accomplish these things, and I am winning a lot and I'm so excited for my life. But also it's like it would be nice to have that like emotionalness as well. But I have to pull myself back to not dive into something that I know is not a good idea. But it's a back and forth. I mean, I think in the end, you're still dealing with like biology in a way. I think it's a society clash with biology. Cause I think I read something that we're the most like we're the most love lust society, like in any era, like, cause marriage wasn't used to be marriage. We talked about this in another episode. Mm-hmm. It used to be like, kind of like for royalty and politics and land. But now we're such a love-struck society where
marrying for love is a very recent development in like modern society. But I would say maybe let's delve into a little bit deeper about what are the wrong reasons to date someone.
Wrong reasons, yes, because in order to get over one body, you must get under another. That is
that's awful.
That's an awful.
That like sounds like a fuckboy mantra.
It is a fuckboy mantra. I still hold the scribes of the fuckboy temple.
I can't even.
But that is.
Is that
one
a chapter
reason.
In your hostry?
It's a chapter in the hostry. It's going to be on Amazon. The audiobook's coming soon. Be on the lookout. That's one reason. I mean, that's one reason. Because I know some people that, it's like, oh,
no, but
get over someone, I need to date this person so I don't have to think about that.
Yeah.
But then you're in something else.
That is a very common rhetoric that I've heard.
That's a common thing, which I don't know is the best way to go about it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's kind of like the rebound, right?
It's the rebound. It's the classic rebound. Yeah, it's an easy pill to swallow. It's like, oh, let me get distracted with this person. It's just a distraction from your emotions and feelings. Mm. But I mean, unless it's just banging, versus like if this person wants to be with you, you got to be honest with yourself, because then you're lying to them.
Yeah.
So that's something you got to be careful of. which is one bad thing.
Have you ever rebounded with people?
Oh, of course.
Okay.
That's right. Oh, you never rebounded?
I don't know.
Everyone has rebounded at least once.
No, I don't think, because I've only, again, dated two people, and after my racist, he wasn't racist, his parents were, but anyway, after that boyfriend, that was when I realized that I didn't, you know, I was always kind of pursuing people, and, like, that's when I kind of, like, took a break.
But you never, like, dated anyone and, like they kind of hurt you, so then I'm like, fuck it, I'm just going to go.
Oh, okay, I guess once. All right, so that's another almost relationship. So that was the video, I guess, we did when I went celibate. So, like, the guy and I, like, you know, I had my orgasm, he disappeared, and so then I slept with somebody else. Yes. Okay. So I think that's like the one.
Yeah, he had a whole and visual anthology art piece about the rebounds. What are you talking about?
All right, but it's like one. That's why I couldn't remember, because it's the literal, like, one that I've done in my life.
It was like 14 dudes we shot in that BuzzFeed video. That was a whole...
But I feel like
2001 Space Odyssey of dick.
Shut up.
Like, that's what that was.
But I only slept with one. I'm just saying, like, to me, I think rebounding is sleeping with multiple people. Like, I only slept with that one guy.
You could be an emotional rebound as well.
Maybe, but I didn't even really like who I was dating.
You don't have to.
Yeah.
That's the whole point. Yeah. The rebound, you don't
so
really
maybe,
like
yes,
them.
Yes, I have done emotional rebounding, but... And I think very quickly I learned. That's why I was like, we need to get out the game real quick, because this is a waste of time.
Yeah, so you got to be really honest with your emotions. Like I said, I think it all just comes back to self. Like, you have to realize what that lesson was. Like, I think every relationship and every, like, thing and every person has a lesson, either a good lesson or a bad lesson. But it's not always them. It's a lot of it is you and how you were in this relationship and how you can improve and what you need to work on and, like, what... You know, and then what you need to look for. And I think that takes some time to let it marinate and let it, like, rest and solidify before you move on to that next person. Because it's just going to distract you emotionally, at least from what I have experienced.
Well, also make somebody else a victim to, like, your up and down emotions. Like,
right,
you
right.
know, and I think that only then makes it messier. I think it's one thing if you're with someone and you have kind of, like, that fuck buddy relationship type thing. But I think if you rebound with someone who kind of, and that's where I think what's funny now that I'm thinking back to my situation, I think that I was supposed to be a rebound for the guy that made me orgasm. And then he realized through us connecting that he liked me more, but it was only supposed to be a rebound.
Oh,
and
geez.
So he emotionally didn't know how to handle the fact that he really liked me.
So it's just like a never-ending web of just, like, rebounds and lonely, pissed-off, sad people.
Literally, like, what happened?
It's that movie, it's that song, Love Sucks. It's like, she loves her, but he loves somebody else, and then she loves somebody else. That just, like, everyone is just chasing everyone because everyone's sad because no one wants anyone.
But I think then it's important. Well, I know for me. So what's funny, though, is that we went through our mess, and then now he ended up in a relationship with someone, and I took a break. And so I think that... Like, and you know, I like, so I've seen some of his Facebook pictures and he still looks miserable.
So you're still Facebook friends with him?
I'm not. So I actually, and I think that this is a really important form of self-care. Like, I think sometimes if you know that, like, you can't handle, and we talked about this on the live stream too, like, if you can't handle being Facebook friends or being in the Facebook presence or social media presence of people that you used to be romantically involved with, then I think that, you know, you gotta do what you gotta do to take care of yourself. And so I blocked him for, I want to say, like, maybe a year. And then when I felt like I was ready, I unblocked him. And so, you know, I think that that's really important, you know, and I think that that's a side conversation. But yeah, so, you know, I've seen pictures. He doesn't look terribly much happy, and I think it's just because, like, I know how deeply he was dealing with shit, so I'm just like, I don't really feel like you look that happy.
Was his profile picture just him, like, sad, or, like, what?
It wasn't sad. It's just one of those things. I know I am very emotionally intuitive, and so, like, I can just tell when someone's kind of, like, happy. But I think a lot of people or maybe not a lot, I don't know, I just feel like I've always been good at feeling out when I think that someone is genuinely happy versus when someone's kind of doing that, like, I'm so happy.
Yay.
Yeah. And so I think Because, and I was trying to tell him this too when we were trying to get together. I was like, I think that you need to see a therapist. You know, and I think that that's really important when you're ending a relationship is like,
tell him to go see a therapist.
It's self-care is so important. And I just don't think that a lot of people take the time to care for themselves after they've broken up. And so then they get into that dangerous cycle of rebounding and then inflicting other people to go and rebound and do all that shit.
And
so,
that's exactly what you're saying is the whole, fuck, I had that in my head. I was ready to bring up a good point. Yes, the self-care thing. I think another wrong reason why people get in relationships is because they expect the other person to fix their problems. They expect that you're going to be the reason for my happiness. You're that sole purpose and you're that, you are the whole contribution to my own personal growth. And then you're going to be the answer to all my questions. And that's what's really dangerous.
Yeah.
And that's what, I mean, a lot of people have to check themselves on that too. Because, I mean, I know personally now the way, like, I'm lonely, but it's the case where, like, if I want to look for a relationship, like, I want to, like, have a real relationship, but it's like I want that, you know, support system. I don't see it as the cause of my happiness. I want as a support system to what I'm already doing, and I want in return to give that to them.
Yeah.
It's like the plant's still growing. I just wouldn't mind a nice emotional beam to help me a little more straight during those rough patches. And I think that's the difference. It's like you have to see yourself as your own project. That's a big issue.
No, yeah, I agree. I think it's one of those things where I think there's this dangerous myth. I don't want to say dangerous, but like I do think there's a myth that goes on that is like, oh, like I need you to be my other half. I need you to complete me. And like I just don't believe in that. I think that it should be I am a whole person and you are a whole person. And together we are going to be two whole amazing people sharing an amazing life together. Because I think that, like, if you just don't have your stuff going on, like, you uncomfortably lean on the other person. And I think that that was something that I experienced in my last relationship was just that, like, you know, like, I can't fault you for going through shit. Like, that's life, right? But if I don't feel like you're doing what you need to do to take care of yourself, like, it's so, like, I know that I personally, I couldn't handle that burden of feeling like I needed to fix you and keep myself together. Like,
oh, God, the fix thing.
Yeah.
I'll fix him. Why do you want to fix him? Why do you want to get a car that's broken? That's why. Why would you waste all this time and energy?
You can't help if somebody is going through shit.
Which I get. That's totally fine. Everyone's going through shit, but, I mean, there's some accountability with themselves. I mean, I just feel like if someone doesn't want to take the time to improve on themselves and expects the other person to improve them, that's the struggle of it.
Well, I would say in my it's not that he was expecting me to fix it. If anything, he was trying to hide it from me, but it just kind of made it worse. And so, like, it was one of those things where I was like, all I know is I'm the type of person where, like, if I feel like I'm being a killjoy, if I feel like I'm not there, I will remove myself. Mm. You know what I mean? Whereas, like, I think other people are just kind of like I feel like I am a giver with my energy, and there are a lot of people who are takers, and those that are takers are just kind of like, I just, you know, even if they, you know, like, he didn't want me to be up in it, but it was just like, no, like, you just aren't handling your stuff, and, like, and that's just really affecting me. And whereas, like, again, like, I'm the type of person where I'm like, I don't want to take up any more energy. Like, if I know, like, if I'm at a party and I know that I'm frustrated or mad or whatever, like, I don't want to be in the space tainting people with my anger or my emotions. Like, I'm just going to remove myself. And, like, that's that. But there are some people that like to be all frustrated and moody and sit in the corner, and they want people to ask you, like, why are you moody? You know what I mean? And, like, that can just be really, I don't, yeah, like, it takes up a lot of energy and a lot of space. And, like, I just think that it's so important for you to know, one, have a sense of self-awareness. Like, how do you react to things? How do you react to stress, to pressure, to your life not going the way it's supposed to, you know? Because I think that's the biggest thing is that, like, people don't account for the fact that sometimes in life things aren't going to go to, they're not going to go the way you want them to. Mm. And that's just it. Like, that's probably the most constant thing about life is that, like, you know, shit's just not always going to go right. And so what's interesting, though, is how we have panic attacks about the fact that it's not going right, as if you didn't already know that that wasn't how life works. Mm-hmm. Like, life isn't perfect like that. And so I just think that if you're not taking the time to be self-aware about how you're going to handle yourself when your life isn't going perfect, and instead you put all of that weight on your partner to deal with it, mm-hmm. then like that just creates so much tension and stress. And then, like, you know, when you also think about the gender roles as well, like, I don't, you know, I would say we were not, it wasn't necessarily like a traditional gender role relationship, but at the same time, like, whether you're conscious to it or subconscious to it, like, I do think it informs the way that we act, even if we are trying to not be that way. Like, I know that he's not the type to, like, you know, be super masculine like that. But, like, at the same time, like, there were times where I felt like, I feel like you're putting the burden of me, like, needing to take care of you and the situation on me. And it just felt like a very traditional, like, because that's what women are supposed to do. And I felt that kind of pressure from, like, people in his family as well. And it was just kind of like, look, like, I can't do that. Like, I just can't. And, like, I'm trying to be honest with you, like, on a person level, that, like, I just think that it's important when you're going through shit that, like, sometimes, like, you have to handle it yourself. And, like, that's just kind of how I've always been. Like, if I need to handle my shit, I will go off in the corner and handle my shit. I'm not going to put it on somebody else.
For real. Yeah. It's weird. I think, yeah, it's strange. I end up dating people that, like, it's always, like, you always see the funny memes or the funny, like, pictures of, like, when the woman says fine or that's okay or go ahead or all these trap words where it's, like, it's not okay.
Don't whatever.
It's not
we
fine.
We did a video on this.
It's not all those things. Be careful, because she says okay, but, you know, it's not okay. But it's the case where, yeah, I'm very used to, like, you know, I was very much alone growing up. I was the only child for a majority of my childhood. And then when I did have siblings, they were just so distant in age. So I just was alone a lot of the times. And my mom was busy dealing with the kids. So it's like, if I ever had any issues, and it's like how I grow up now is that, like, oh, if I have internal struggle, I don't know how to put that on anyone else. It's because I'm that kid in the basement, the oldest one, having to just deal with my shit. Mm. So, like, I'm used to that kind of stuff, and then when I'm dating people, their different way of doing it is, like, I know there's issues, but I don't know the real reason why. Like, there's animosity, where there is problems. You're not okay. You're saying you're okay, but you're not okay, and I'm just, like, wondering what the problem is, and then it comes out later that it's, like, something totally different, which, like, I mean, I could help you through this. Like, I want to help you. Like, it's not the case where, like, you should totally figure out your own shit. Like, I'm there to support you again. But I think it's the difference between you should help me. You should make this better versus let me help you. Let me support you. So just be a little open. I think there's a back and forth.
Yeah, and I think that was the biggest cog in the relationship, is that I was like, help me help you, because I felt like I was trying to help him through stuff, and, like, it was like he wasn't taking my help. And I was like, listen, there is not enough time in the day for me to give you my time and then not feel like you're going to use it. So it's like, I just need to know, like, what is the best way in which I can help you. And I just kind of felt like he didn't know how to articulate that. And at that point, I was just like, well, I can't, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. To me, it sounds like you have, like, personal growing that you need to do on your own to figure out how to articulate that. So, like, you know, that's what I would say. You know, if you feel like you can't articulate how you're feeling about things, like, that sounds like you have a journey to go through on your own. Mm-hmm. Because it's not fair to the person that you date. And then, like, you know, every day they're just kind of playing, what is the word? Like, they're just always trying to guess, like, where you're at. And then, like, you're saying stuff, but you're not doing what you say. And, like, that is so exhausting. And, like, nobody got time for that. Like,
yeah, it's the back and forth of a relationship should make your life easier, not harder. But also, relationships are hard.
I mean, I don't expect a relationship to be easy by any means. But I just think that there are ways in which it's like, like it feels like it's like you're making this more difficult than it should be.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think it's just like anything, really. It's like, oh, I putting my time and energy in this service and it sucks. It's like you stay in a relationship because it's like the overall is good. It's generally like, and it's addition to your life that fulfills you and it's a part of a process that you can grow with and become a better person through, or have personal self-development, or you love someone, or it's great. Like,
yeah.
You're not a part of something because it sucks in anything in life.
But you're also not a part of it because it's perfect, because, like, no relationship is perfect.
Right, right.
Like, I think it's about, like, you know, when you're having your issues or your moments, like, you know, making sure that you're available to help support your partner, but then that you as the person that's going through the issues are doing everything that you can to get back on your feet. Because mm-hmm. I think that's where there becomes that tension where it's like either you're not getting the support that you need from your partner, or your partner's trying to support you, but you're not doing what you need to do to mm-hmm. help your partner support you.
Yeah, yeah. It's all falls in line with just, yeah, taking that time. It's like, if you want to just jump in something that's not worth it, it's like, yeah, you could easily go in a drive-thru and get a cheeseburger for $1.99, but, you know, how good is that meal going to be? And you might feel a little gross afterwards. I don't know. Maybe you want to sit down, take a minute, but that meal's going to be pretty good because it's cooking, it's marinating, using the right juices and flavors and whatnot.
You know, I'll give you that metaphor.
Just give it to me, all right?
I will. I did, all right?
You're trying to eat fast food, or you're trying to have a five-star cuisine, but it's just going to take some time.
Yeah.
That's all it is. Eli. It's going to take some Yelp reviews, too. You're going to have to do some research.
How many episodes did it take for you to get?
Please, whatever. This is just the right episode I could actually speak. That's all it is. Like I said, you're trying to, like, drag me from, like, wanting, like, love and stuff. Like, you just said you hated everything. I'm like, I'm growing.
Right, right.
It's the
right.
journey.
Okay,
it's
yeah.
You gotta appreciate the journey, all right?
I didn't realize how quickly your journeys were. Like, found the, like, you must have, like, a swap card on Candyland. Like, you know,
swap
where
card
you just jumped
Candyland.
Ahead. Like, because not too many episodes ago, you were talking about how you're ready to die alone, so.
I die alone. Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Yeah, it's like, it's very much like, yeah, even a couple months ago, I was just like, oh, gotta be alone, gotta be alone, gotta be alone. And I'm like, you know what? No, I'm sick of, like, talking to my other buddies who has girlfriends and they have cheap rent and their one bedroom apartment, and, like, talking to Ryan Bergara about how he wants to be a family man. Like, why am I always the black sheep of the bunch? And I'm like, you know what? I always wanted to be an example to my family. Why not be an example with a healthy and loving relationship? So,
but I just feel like, to me, that sounds like it feels outside of yourself a little bit.
It's you know, I think it's just me, like, grossly admitting that I want a traditional love life. I grew up in the Midwest, Catholic, so it's like I feel like there's still that, like, imprint on me, although I'm very much, like, not there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But it's,
you're a Cancer.
And I'm a Cancer, sure, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Emotions.
Mm-hmm.
I just realized that I like people, and I want to be around people, and I want to be around someone. And it'll happen when it happens. I'm confident in myself. The plant's growing no matter what. And, I'm not trying to settle by any means. I did the work, and it will happen one day.
It was so funny. Eli texted me while I was on vacation, and he texted me some bullshit.
What did I text
you? I'm trying
you?
To remember. It was you talking about how you're a changed man now, and
I'm
how
changed.
Like, you're not bumping bellies anymore.
I'm done bumping bellies.
I'm so over it.
The bellies are gone, done, bumped.
Oh my god,
it's over. I just want to play International Players Anthem, Android 3000's lyrics as I walk up to the aisle. You know, that's all I want to do. It's
okay.
Like, hate to see Ella frown, but I'd rather see her smiling. Wetness all around me, true, but I'm no island. Peninsula, maybe.
Right. You're about to get us in trouble with copyright.
So. Andre, I was gonna sue my ass.
So Eli sent me a message. He's like, "So it's official. I'm only doing traditional dating. Next topic to cover when you get back." I was like, "What does that mean?"
It just hit me. It hit me that it's like, you know what? Yeah, I am at such an exciting place in my life. I'm more confident than I've ever been in my life. Like, I look at myself in the mirror and I can just honestly say that we're gonna do this. Like, I know my dreams and my goals are inevitable, and I'm so excited for my future. And it just took a lot of work to get there. And now it's finally showing, which is crazy. Like, everything I'm working for is slowly starting to show. And I saw that, like, I can make my goals a reality when I want to, as long as I'm consistent in my pursuit and my reasons and my whys are authentic and real. And it hit me where it's like, why can't that be a loving person? And because I'm more busy than I've ever been before, which is a blessing and I'm grateful. But because of that, I now realize, like, I'm not going to waste time on these girls. Like, I wasted so much time and money and calories on booze and food that I just sit there and, like, this was a waste of everything that I really want. And I think it happens for a lot of men where, again, our conversations aren't, how are you personally developing yourself? You're like, no, it's about, who are you hollering at this weekend? Those are the conversations. And it takes that maturity, I feel like, in that culture. Because now I'm surrounded by people you may not like too much. But I'll take that out. But
it's like, you mean people I don't care about that you keep talking to me about.
But it's funny. But I surrounded myself around people, also men, that have this similar pursuit where there are greater things to be had than just ass. So yeah, it's a new step, a new level, a new mindset. So I hope people can reflect and hear something through that journey.
Hopefully I want y'all to hear what I said, because
okay.
I was like, what does that mean? He's like, I'm only dating with the intention of settling down, no bumping bellies. I was like, sure. He's like, whatever, you'll see. I was like, so, and then to give you some context, because Eli came to my house one day, and this doctor should be sued for like malpractice, or I don't know. He just sounded crazy. The one that told you that you might have AIDS because you were sick.
Right.
So Eli went to the doctor because he was like, he had the sniffles or whatever, and the doctor's like, yeah, maybe you could have AIDS. And he's like, what?
Well, this doctor was like, because I was a little lightheaded, and I was like, yeah, I don't know what's wrong with me. Yeah, and I went to the doctor, and I was like, yeah, so what's this, what's that? And it's like, I'm like, yeah, I'm just like lightheaded, I don't know what's wrong. And he's like, yeah, you know, it could be cancer, it could be, you know, HIV, AIDS, I don't know. I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm like, should we do some tests or something? He's like, nah, you'll be all right. It's probably a virus. Just give it a couple days. So I'm like, what the hell? So I'm thinking I have like something, like a brain tumor, or like I'm dying of like
I just think
this
that's
terrible
crazy
disease.
That that's what he would jump to.
Yeah, and I'm good. Like, I'm not losing any weight. If anything, I'm gaining weight. Like, I was like, but of course you WebMD it, you know, you start, you know, listening to Joel Osteen videos, you know, it's like, it was a whole weekend of just like sadness and craziness. So I go to the doctor again on Sunday because I'm like still sick, and I'm like, what is going on? I'm going to die. I know it. And then the doctor's like, you have a sinus infection.
That whole weekend Eli was like, you know, I've found Jesus.
Wasn't that weekend? Oh, I said, yeah. I found Jesus.
Yeah. So then he was like, whatever, you'll see. And I was like, did another doctor tell you that you might have AIDS again?
No. Well, that was the thing. I felt like such an idiot. And I learned that I'm a huge baby when I'm sick. Put it that way. But also, screw that doctor, man. That's really stressful.
No, the doctor was shit.
That was fucking terrible. So, like, now I know what sinus infections are like, because I never had one before. But, yeah, right when I took the medicine, I was like, oh, I'm good now. But, yeah, it's I want to say I'm glad that I'm a baby when I get sick, because I did think I was going to die for one point. And during that process of thinking I was possibly going to die, it humbles you.
But then I'm like, do we all got to expect men that are so far reformed fuckboys, like, they have to go through the experience of thinking they might die to,
no,
like, be like, oh, no, well, let me think about, like, actually treating somebody right.
This is the thing. I wasn't treating anyone wrong before, okay? I wasn't in a relationship. I was dating and whatnot. But I think it was... It wasn't totally that. But it was just like, yeah, getting busy, having opportunities come up and be like, I now have to spend my weekends doing this, like, versus going out. And yeah, maybe some people have more laxed schedules, but it's the case where, you know, I know I'm closer to 30 than I am at like 20. So it's the case where, like, I know what those next steps are. And I know naturally I want to be with somebody. So it's like... And I had to really, like, uncover that heavy door of admitting that I want to be with someone. Because I don't know why I feel like I'm selling out by saying that. Mm. Like, I want to be married. Maybe I want to have a kid. I have this thing on Facebook. Facebook.
We need to go back to episode two.
It's crazy.
I am done.
Because, like, on Facebook, I always see, like, these cool, like, little brown girls, like doing, like, skateboarding tricks. Like, there's this girl that has a fairy costume on, and she's doing, like, a kick flip off of, like, a six stair. Or I see like a brown girl doing like jujitsu, like kicking ass or something, or like whatever else. And it's like, I always like my comments always like rare footage of my future daughter. And I'm like,
Becky said it. She did. She said, "You are a father of the year." And you were like, "I don't want kids. I don't want kids.
But yeah,
I want to die alone.
Maybe I will die alone. I don't know. We'll see. Because I still
want to.
I would not want to die alone. It'd be nice to be with someone. But yeah, it's the case for like, my happy place, I'm always on a beach and I'm walking to a hammock and there's Chewbacca reading comic books and Bernie Sanders is like putting like suntan lotion on himself. That's literally my happy place when I meditate. And then it started shifting as I got older where it's like, oh, I see like my family like enjoying themselves. You know, I see like my cousins and everyone having a good time. And I always lay down on a hammock and I usually go to sleep and it takes me to a place where I'm feeling unconfident. And then it's me, being confident. But then it's like, okay, these people are popping up. It's family. It's these different things. It's shifting. And then it's like, oh, that significant other giving me a kiss right before I go to sleep. And I'm like, oh, this is my internal, like, clock, maybe. I don't know. It's a thing.
Yeah, maybe.
Just be happy you got another man on the market that's ready to settle, okay? Be happy for that.
I'm not going to say anything. So anyway, let's, I guess, talk about like what are the right reasons to date someone now?
Yeah, the right reasons. What are the right reasons to date someone? Yeah, what are the right reasons? I would say the right reasons... Is there ever a right reason to date someone? I don't know. That's the hard thing. All I know is like...
Well, yeah. What?
Because I want to reach that next life with somebody. I know, because I'm a human being and I want to be with somebody. I want to grow with someone. I want to have that relationship. I don't want to keep banging people because, I don't know, my dick might fall off one day. So it's like, it's, and I don't want to be emotionally like, just like unfulfilled. I mean, I feel like there is this like partnership that is important and it's like, I know I'm going to be successful no matter what. It would just be nice to have that with someone, to share that success with someone. Like, I know I'm going to reach that place that's going to be good, but I would love to look at that person next to me and she knew that journey and she was there with me and I could share that with somebody. It's like, I want to find someone that I am in love with the idea of sharing my success with. And I think it's the case where, like, you still hold that self-confidence in yourself, you still hold that you know that you're going to be okay with just you, but it's the idea that, like, me sharing this with this person is an idea that I love. And that's fulfilling in a way.
So it's the idea of, like, I want you, I don't need you. So you should never need the person.
Yes.
You should always desire, like... The reason why you're together is just because you feel like they add something to your life rather than taking something away.
Right, right. Exactly. They add something to my life. There is that addition. And that's the thing. Yeah, that's why I have to check myself. Cause like, yeah, I'm working, I'm doing all this. And I'm like, oh, I'm lonely. But it's the case where like, I don't want to fall into something. Like, I know I've done that many a times before. And just if someone to fill up the space. And I want to prove to myself that I don't need that. I want you. And then I feel like, and people, I think, take that the wrong way. It's like the whole, you complete me, thing, which is romantic and it is sweet, but there is something beautiful about, I am a complete person, but I want to take you on as well. I don't know. I think there is even a more of a romantic beauty to that.
Yeah. I would honestly say, so for anyone that's looking for an activity, because you know I love activities, one that I really liked and that really put my life into perspective and made me realize how unhealthily unbalanced my relationship was, it's called the 9 boxes exercise. And so basically what it is that you make a grid of 9 boxes, and in the center box you can put your relationship. And then you fill it in all the other surrounding boxes with ways in which you fulfill your time outside of the relationship. And so with the book that I was reading, it was saying, like, if you can't fill up the other boxes and you truly do feel like your relationship is kind of the only thing that fulfills your world, then when the relationship ends, that's why you have that soul crushing feeling of like, oh my God, like I have nothing else to live for, because you were literally living for that relationship. And so like when I did it, it was like, oh, like, you know, it was nice because I was like, I have my relationship here. I have Yes Queen there. I have my family there. I have salsa dancing here. I have the podcast there. And so it was like, when the relationship ended, it's not to say that it wasn't sad. Like, you're always going to experience a little bit of sadness. But, like, there were other things that I had going on in my life that allowed me to cushion that emptiness so that it didn't feel like my whole world was caving in. So I definitely think it's a cool exercise for people to try. And it's like, if you're having a hard time filling out the rest of the boxes, then it might mean that, like, you kind of need to find other things to fulfill your time so that the relationship isn't the only thing that you're living for.
Yeah, that's good. That's what crushes on Hinge for me, because I'm on that Hinge life now, and it's fantastic. But the one thing I said is like, what are you looking for in someone? Someone who already has a fulfilled and active life that I can build an empire with on our computers while we're in our pajamas eating ice cream. That is fire, son. And but that's exactly it. What are those boxes? You gotta have those boxes filled, you know? Because I can't have you if I don't text you back in a couple hours, you slashing my tires because you think I don't love you anymore. I'm not doing that again. I'm not going back to that. It's not gonna happen. So.
Also, I think it's so funny how y'all also missed Eli's out here talking about how he wants to be a salsa dancer now. And I'm just like, what?
It's probably not gonna happen. It's like, oh, I'm gonna play piano. And I have a piano in my room that's like just collecting dust. But yeah, I think it's like, because I'm visiting Latin America. I went to Puerto Rico and then just got back from Mexico City. And it's like, man, I really want to dive in to the culture. You know, I got to like really dip in there, learn that Spanish, dance that salsa, and be even more of a hot commodity than I already am now. So add more skill sets to my sexiness. So,
yeah, fill out your boxes.
That's another thing too. Yeah, fill out your boxes. Add that just makes you a sexier person. If you're like, oh, I'm alone, fill out those boxes. You're gonna be more desirable.
Yeah,
I feel.
So I would say, you know, a right reason to be in a relationship is like, you know, you're not the relationship isn't the only thing that you live for. Like, you have a life and you have friends. Because the other thing that I've noticed too, that I've talked about with other friends, is how like your girlfriends in particular will completely just like ghost their friends.
Yeah.
And they no longer exist and they're all about just their relationship. And I think that's really unhealthy.
That's, people disappear. Yeah. It's great on both sides too. It's like once he gets a girlfriend, he's gone, bro. He's like, that's it. Where you at? They're like, oh no, I gotta do this. Oh, girl. My buddy, I haven't heard from him in months. And I saw he posted something on Instagram story, some random like girl. I'm like, who the hell's that? He's like, oh, it's my girlfriend.
But like, that's just nuts that like literally people fall off the earth just because they're dating somebody else. Like, I've never thought that that was a healthy practice. Like, I still think that you should find time to hang out with your friends. And because it just feels like your friends are placeholders. Like, it's just kind of like, oh, yeah, like, I'm just hanging out with you because I ain't got a man or I ain't got a bae. And like, the minute I get a bae, like, it's like, oh, fuck y'all. Y'all didn't matter to me. Like, this, like, years of friendship meant nothing to me because you were just a placeholder. And
yeah,
like, that just sounds like I would be more forgiving of a friend who was like, sorry, I was like busy running my empire, than someone who was like, sorry, like,
dick
I was
bomb.
Just
yeah.
So I mean, you know, if the dick's good, it's just like, but just completely ditching me because like you just feel like it's an expectation for you to be that enveloped in someone. Because again, I think that's why when you think about divorce, I think that's why divorce is so hard for people and that they don't want to do it, because it's like, well, they've lived their entire life for this person.
Right.
So they don't know. It's scary now to think about what a life would be like for themselves because they completely abandoned their life for themselves. And so like, yeah. I just think that I don't think divorce would be as big of a stigma if people knew how to be with someone and also still maintain an element of themselves.
Yeah.
So that again, when the relationship falls, it won't be that hard because you'll still have all of your other boxes really well rounded and filled out.
Exactly. I would say like every person I like dated, like after we broke up, their lives got way more exciting. Like I'll like look up on their grams and stuff, and they're like, "You're doing what and where?" Like, we've never done that. Like, I felt like they just like suddenly, "Oh, I'm free." They're like out of this prison of like chicken wings and like Netflix on the couch. And then now they're like at all these bougie spots that like we never went to, or like they're traveling across the world and doing all this like cool shit. And I'm like, we could do that, or you could do that now. You could go out with your friends. Go, please go. Like, I, you know, it's like, go ahead, do the damn thing. And I expect the same thing as well. I mean, you gotta. Yeah, that's exactly it. You have to stay active in your own life. You
yeah.
know? It doesn't end once you're in the relationship. So
yeah.
you got to keep that going.
And I guess not to jump back into the wrong reasons, but I also think, I remember I would see this comment a lot in like YouTube comments. You know, someone would do like a relationship video and people would be like, "I'm forever alone. And like, I just want a girlfriend that will like, you know, cuddle with me and take, and we'll go to the movies together and we'll go shopping and we'll eat this, that together." And it's like, you know, like that person's a human. Like you're kind of, it sounds like you're looking for like a slave or a human doll to just carry around with you when you don't want to feel alone. Like, you know, like these are full complete people, like they have lives, you know. So like, I just think that there's this weird misconception about how like when you're in a relationship, like that person is expected to always do the shit that you want to do so that you don't feel alone. Like no, that's why you have friends, like, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. It's a lot of people want to like date for the idea of love or the idea of someone, not the actual person. It's like, I think like you see this hot person and then you make up all this whole history of like, oh man, it's going to be so, like, you think of your whole dating history of this person. You never even met them. And then they open their mouths and you hear who they are as people, and they have a personality with thoughts and issues and problems and bad days. So it's like, you have to take that on with who that person is. Yeah. Everyone wants to, you know, watch a movie and then, you know, get, you know, fellatio'd and and then finish the movie later, you know. Like, you know, that's dope, it's sweet, but then you have to talk to that person after, and what does that conversation look like? So that's the other thing, you gotta check yourself. It's like, I want to be in a relationship. It's like, okay, do you just want to be in a relationship? Do you want to be in the idea of a relationship, or do you actually want to like be with that person? Like, I want to be with that person. Like, hold up, do you actually want to be with Steve, or you want to be with the idea of a relationship?
Yeah.
And Steve is that person that could, you know. So you gotta really take the time and
So yeah, being careful of like placeholder syndrome, like just having somebody there just because like you feel like you need this figmented person in your life. And like, that's something I struggled with. Like, I felt like I couldn't exist as like a complete woman unless I had a man. Like, you know, I couldn't, my accolades and all that stuff meant nothing because I didn't have a boyfriend. Like, a partner validated all that stuff for me. So like,
yeah.
Be careful of like placeholder syndrome. And like, I think as far as like good things, like things that you should look for, like the right reason to be in a relationship, like, you know, again, it's like I'm learning now that I just need to trust my gut. And I just think about all the times in which I've went against my gut and how much I've regretted it, like your friend. And I just think that it's your gut, like the more in touch that you can get with that, because your gut knows you the most. Like, that's your psyche, that's you, you know, that's the part of you that is like really taking in your past and what you've been through and all the things that you've done. And so like, you know, if you get some, like if you're with someone and you just don't feel that like, I want to be with them sensation, and like, sure, they may look the way that you imagine them to be, but at the end of the day, it's truly about like how you feel about the person.
Yeah.
And I've been watching a lot of Sex and the City, and I think that Charlotte's storyline is like a really good example of that, where like Charlotte was so dead set on being married, so dead set on having the perfect husband. She married him. He had erectile dysfunction issues. They weren't able to work it out. And then she ended up marrying a man that she never would have imagined herself with. And like, she was so unbelievably in love with him, you know? And so like, I think that another thing is that like, people get into relationships because, you know, someone looks the certain way or they look the part that they're supposed to be. And I'm like, you just got to throw all that shit out the window. Like, you have to date based off of like, how you feel. And like, I think for me, like when I think about all the people I've ever liked or dated, like if you line them up in a room, when you look at them, like you wouldn't, you'd be like, really? Like you liked all of these people? But then like when you got to know who they were, you could tell that like I dated them for like their spirit or was into them because of the energy that they had and not necessarily because like they fit a certain package. Like if anything, I used to get dragged for the people I liked. Like they'd be like Deja. And I was like, what?
That's true though. I there's a lot of pressure. There's so much pressure, especially guys too. It's like, you know, we gotta be an 8 or above, you know? It's like, it's the whole like 1 to 10 scale, and it's like, and to use the 1 to 10 scale, as terrible as it is, you may see a girl that's a 6, and then once you get to know her, she's suddenly an 8 because she's super cool and she has this dope personality and she's into this music and you guys have really common interests and awesome conversation. So that happens a lot, but I feel like yeah, there's this pressure of guys having to date hot women even if they suck. Like yeah.
Don't date for your friends. I think that that's a bad reason to get into a relationship is because you're afraid of how your friends will perceive your significant other if they don't look a certain way.
And your family too. My aunts are ruthless. Like they've that's why I'm scared to bring significant others back home, because they will tear them up. I've shown some Instagrams of like, oh, this is a girl I'm dating right now. I was like, oh god. I'm like, what? What the like, you can't say that. It's like, oh, okay. It's like, why can't be? And then I feel insecure. I'm like, well, it's not going to work, honey. I'm sorry. My aunts think you look hideous. So, God. It's like, I showed like a group photo. I'm like, oh, she's that one. I'm like, oh, that girl's cute over there. I'm like, damn. It's like, she's really nice and cool, though. It's like, man, your husband ain't shit. Relax.
Yeah. But yeah, I think at the end of the day, you have to remember that like you're dating the person, your friends aren't, your family aren't, like it's all about you. So like if you get those gut feelings, then fuck what everybody else thinks. Like it's about how you feel about the person. And I just think it's so sad how those things often really screw up really good relationships, like listening to all of those societal expectations of like what your partner should look like and who's the best type of person for you.
Exactly. It's the internal happiness. It's like, you got to think about like, okay, yeah, I'm with this. I have the chance to be with a hotter person, but what does that loneliness feel like? What does loneliness Eli feel like? What is like sad Eli feel like? But what do I feel like when I'm with this person? It's like, oh, I like this feeling, so let me keep following that.
Let me just say, there is nothing more lonely than being in a relationship with someone you don't give a fuck about. Like, you want to talk about being lonely? That is the ultimate form of loneliness. So I just don't think it's worth it to be in a relationship with someone that, like, you're just dating for societal reasons or whatever. Like, it's purely a waste of time in my mind. Like, you will never feel more alone than doing that.
Unless they're paying your bills. But that's a different thing. I don't know. In general, that's a joke.
Yeah.
But I think...
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, thank you, everyone, for voting, tuning in, everything else.
This was a good topic. I mean, I didn't know how far we would get in the conversation, but, like, yeah, so go ahead, Patreon subscribers, like, keep doing the damn thing. Y'all picking really interesting topics. If you're interested in helping us pick the topics that we talk about, you can definitely check out our Patreon page, and I don't remember what tier it is that you would have to subscribe to. But all the information is up there. This was a really cool conversation. We hope that you guys are digging the every other week. I know it's hard. We are hoping that we are able to engage with you guys more because of all of this extra time that we have. So
awesome. Thanks so much for listening, y'all. We'll, I can't say see you next week, man. See you the week after. We'll see you next time here at Real Talk Love Therapy. We have a bunch of cool stuff. Please keep listening. We have cool stuff coming your way, okay? Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Bye, y'all.